kingdom of heaven is like a woman who took and hid leaven in three measures of meal. That means that the kingdom is hidden. It's hidden. And sometimes, you know, when things are hidden, it takes time to find them. It takes time to find it. And so what I want to invite you to do is close your eyes with me. Because what we're looking for is found in this room with our eyes. What we're looking for is found in the Spirit. So Jesus, we declare, you are worthy of it all. Jesus, we say with our mouth, you are the King. You are worthy all of my worship. The affections of my heart belong to you and only you. Jesus, we love you. We pray, reveal. Reveal. Reveal in this moment with you what's available to us. So the Lord would say, healing is available to you. In my presence. In my presence, healing is available to you. Peace flows like a river is available to you. Strength and joy all belong to you. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We come against thoughts. Thoughts of premature death and the lies of the enemy in our life. And we thank you, God, that we live in the joy of the Lord, in the strength of our God. We celebrate your name. We bless your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right there, if you could just be seated, take out your Bible, go with me to Judges 7. Judges 7. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me. And they'll say, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn. Let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. Matt, can you give me something back there? Just something in the background. Or, no, she's got it. So the Lord tells Gideon, you've got too many people with you. I need you to separate some people from you, because the stuff I'm asking you to do, you have too much of an advantage. It's not fair. God says the place I'm taking you to, you have such an advantage on your life, Gideon, that I need you to get rid of some stuff to make the fight fair. Church, you need to know today that the fight's not fair. It's not fair. And I know you don't feel like more than a conqueror. But God's telling you, the fight is not fair. You have an advantage against your enemy that makes it unfair. And so Gideon, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take 32,000 men. And I want you to tell 32,000 I want you to look them in the eyes and I want you to tell them, if you're afraid, go home. If you're afraid, go home. You know what that tells me? That tells me that 32,000 people joined an army, but not all of them, not every one of them were soldiers. It's quite possible to belong to the army. It's quite possible, it's quite possible to belong to the nation, but not to the army. You can be an American citizen, but you can't be a Navy SEAL. You know, some things you have to qualify for. And in a world that tells you you're entitled to everything, here we see in the Word that some things require qualifications. And the greater the call on your life, the greater the call of quality on your life. So he says to Gideon, Gideon, I'm going to give the Midianites into your hand. But I'm not going to do it with your strength. And a lot of us, you know, we're asking God to do stuff through our strength. Do it for me, God, in a way that I understand. Do it for me in a way that's convenient and comfortable. Do it for me in a way that doesn't cost me a whole lot of restless nights. Do it for me in a way that I understand in my human nature. I want to understand the ways of God and how you're going to bring victory to my life. I don't want you to do it in ways that confound me, that confuse me, that press me, or that scare me. Don't do it in ways that cause my heart to be fearful. God, I want you to do it in ways that make me, that give me peace. So it tells us that if God's called you to a place of destiny, then probably the place and the road to destiny is loaded with scary stuff. And it probably means that if what God's calling to you isn't scaring you a little bit, then it's not your road to destiny. Hey, if you're a student in here, I need you to go with Pastor Dom right now. If you're a student right now, can you go with Pastor Dom? Oh, you guys want to go with Pastor Dom if you're a student? Thank you. If you're a student. It says, Gideon, here's what I want you to do. I need you to get rid of some people. Because if you win with your strength, you'll claim that which belongs to me, and that's glory. See, glory. Glory then is found in taking risks. Glory is the unspoken manifestation of your Father. So God says, I'm not going to give my unspoken manifestation to you unless you bring victory by my hand rather than yours. So I can't have your hand stronger than my hand in the fight you're fighting. But most of us want our hand to be the strongest hand in what God's doing with our life. And so we're looking to steal the thing that belongs to God. And God says, if you'll just let my hand be stronger than yours, I'll give my glory, but I won't give it until you give my hand. Let my hand bring victory. So he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell everybody who's afraid, tell them to go home. Just go home. Doesn't mean you can't belong to the family. It doesn't mean you can't belong, you don't belong to the Lord. It just means that there are probably a lot of people who are living beneath their call. Because here's what happened when he told them to go home. When he said, if you're afraid, you can go home. 22,000 left. 22,000 had joined an army, but were afraid. 22,000 confessed a life that they weren't living. Can I ask you a question today? Are you living the life you're confessing? Are you taking risks? I wrote this book. It's called 3-2-1, Leadership to Legacy. And in the book, it reveals how most people live their life just outside of their destiny. That there are three levels to leadership, three levels to living a courageous Christian life. And the first level, you can't even enter into this courageous Christian life and begin to walk in your destiny and your purpose until you do something. Until you confront what you are afraid of. This is the principle that Gideon is presenting to the army. He says, if you're afraid, here's what I want you to do. Listen, there's no condemnation in being afraid. You can go home. We just want you to go home because you're not fit to fight in the army of God. And most of us live our life just outside of courage. Because there were 32,000 that started. 22,000 left. And I want you to ask yourself a real scared question. Where do you live your life? Where does your faith exist? Are you taking risks in your faith? Are you believing God for some scary stuff? Are you believing God for the dreams and hopes of your life that only He could help you accomplish? Or are you just outside of that realm with the 22,000 who claim to the life of destiny but never take a step of courage in the direction of your fears? Have you ever confronted your fears? And are you living a life of faith that's risky? Risky. And the truth is, most Christians are living basic lives. Basic. How many want to be an average Christian? Raise your hand. No, you don't. There was a language barrier there. He didn't understand it. Nobody wants to be average, right? Like, I came, I was an average basketball player. I was an average just, and you know, you weren't created to be average. You weren't born again to be average. Students use this word. I hear my daughter, she's 13, she used this word a lot. She said, they say, it's basic. Have you heard this in your household? That's so basic. So basic. It's a word they use to say, that's just average. That's just normal. And if you were to define your life with Christ, would you define it as basic? Would you define it as just average? Because I'll tell you something, it doesn't take a whole lot. Well, it's kind of tricky because it costs you a whole lot on the inside, but not a whole lot on the outside. What it costs you on the inside to be an above average, you want to go from 32,000, the masses of people, to 10,000? Here's what you got to do. You got to take a risk. You got to live on the edge of your faith where you're constantly pressing against the things that scare you the most. If God's calling you to something, does it scare you a little bit? Not a little bit. Most times when God calls you to something, it scares you a lot. And it's all relative. You know, maybe God's calling you to you know, start a business. Or maybe God's calling you to adopt a child. Or maybe God's calling you to, you know, share something at work with an individual, and you're struggling with that. You're a little afraid of that. But here's what I know that's found in courage. If you'll take a step of courage, you'll separate yourself from the masses of people, and you'll come into this realm of Christianity that's above average. How many want to be an above average Christian? Yeah, of course you do. I want to be an above average Christian. I want to take a risk today, and I want to step into a realm that causes my heart to flutter a little bit when I do it. And then when I do it, I conquer it. I realize it wasn't so bad. It wasn't as bad as I made it all out to be. But there's something awesome found when you take a step of courage. He says, listen, I'm not going to give my glory to you with your strength. But if you'll take a step of courage, if you'll be courageous and you'll confront your fears, if you'll just confront the thing that's causing you fear, I promise to give you the thing you desperately long for in this world, and that is my glory, my presence. That tells me that his presence is found in the risky places, in the uncomfortable places, in the complacent places. When you confront complacency and convenience, and you push beyond the awkwardness of the room, and you say, I'm going to worship God with all of my heart, and I'm going to touch his hem this morning, and I'm not going to leave this place the same. I don't care what anybody else does. I've come here today to touch the robe, and I've come today to grab hold of the oil of God, and I'm not leaving until that oil gets on me and in me, until I feel God begin to move on the inside of me. I'm not letting go until I touch him today. That's a risk. So I'm going to move forward in my faith. I'm going to take a step in my faith. I'm going to separate myself from 32,000. I'm going to enter into the dimension and the realm of my belief that's above average. It's so easy yet so hard to be great today in this world. Because let me be honest with you, most people go to work for 8 hours. They sleep for 8 hours. And they waste 8 hours. Every day, but all of us are given the same day. But what separates the above average Christian from the basic Christian, from those outside, are those who say, listen, I'm going to live my 24-hour day confronting my fears. I'm going to be courageous with my days. So I want to give you 3, 4, maybe 5 steps to stepping into courageous living. The first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to begin a certain way. If I were to ask you today, how did you begin your day today? How did your day today begin? How did you wake up when you went to the bathroom? What did you say to yourself when you looked at yourself in the mirror? As soon as your eyes woke up on your pillow, what was the conversation you had with yourself? How did your day begin? How did it start? You see that we see that in the beginning, God created. He created. And I just want us to pay attention to what God did when he created. And so at the beginning of every day, you're creating a new day. You're opening up this brand new day. How are you creating this new day? Are you doing it like your Father in heaven does? Because your Father in heaven spoke to his days. He spoke to them. He declared over them, they are good. And so let's do something together. Let's speak over this day today. If not for us, at least for the Cleveland Browns. God, let's bless the Cleveland Browns today with this confession. And God created the Cleveland Browns, and they were good. Come on, say it. They were good. Say something to your days. Don't just let them exist. Create them. Speak a word over them. Your words have power. If the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then your words have power. When you declare over a day, it will be good. It'll be full of the glory of God. I'm going to take risks today. I'm going to walk in the power of my Father. I declare over my children, they are good too. I declare over my marriage, it is good. I declare over a relationship I have, it is good too. Speak over your day. Declare over every day. In the beginning, God said. What are you saying over your day? How did it start? If it's not going so good, stop what you're doing. Take a pause. Pause for a minute and speak over the day. Like if it starts bad, I mean, if you fell off the bed when you woke up, get up, dust yourself off, and then declare a new thing over that old thing. Speak a thing over your day. Don't let the day unravel you. Declare what it will be before it's ever even opened. Prophesy the gift of your day. I declare there's glory inside of the box called my day. I'm going to live in a calendar box today, but it's going to be amazing. It's going to be greater than yesterday, and it's going to define what tomorrow's going to look like, because I'm going from glory to glory to glory. And so I'm not expecting this day to bear the fruits of death, hell, and destruction. I'm expecting this day to bear the glory of my Father in heaven. I'm going to live with greater power. I'm more than a conqueror. I expect this day to bear that image. Instead of this, oh, I'm so tired. Wake up. If you feel sick, declare, I'm the healed of the Lord. Somebody texted me today. I'm feeling a bit under the weather. Well, get to church and get on top of the weather. Get around some synergistic faith and begin to move heaven. So beginning. So every day I'll give this to you and ask me for it later, but I say use me today to reveal your power, your providence, and love to my family, the city, and nation, and generation. I look for your goodness and purpose in every encounter. I'm your masterpiece, and I promise to walk in the newness of Christ today. Today belongs to you, and I'll make your plans the focus of my mind, and I'll draw out your purpose and plans for me on this day. I will work out my salvation today and make sure your purpose in the earth is fulfilled to its fullest. I will trust you to protect me and preserve me as I take big risks for you today, because I want them to be in proportion to my purpose. I would dream the dreams of heaven for my life today, God. And I would dream the dreams of heaven for my life today, God. I would dream the dreams of heaven today for my children, for my grandchildren. I would dream it. So you have to start each day with a courageous confession. Secondly, you have to create a courageous ecosystem. If you're ever going to push out of fear and into courage, you're going to have to create a courageous ecosystem. I got this fish. We got this goldfish at home. I had to get him out of here and put him in a vase to bring this gold, this fishbowl here for you. Of course, you've heard the analogy that some goldfish will grow in proportion to their ecosystem. You've heard that, right? It's interesting, you know. If we're ever going to grow in proportion to our ecosystem, then many of us are going to have to change it. And most of us think quantity rather than quality when we do this. But Jesus was always quality. He didn't care about numbers. He knew he could do more with less. But most of us think that our power and our leverage exists in the more. If I get more, then I'll be more leveraged.
if I can get more network, if I can network more, if I can, you know, if I can get more money, if I can, you know, just more, more. If I get more, I can be stronger. Just more. But Jesus, he flips the script on us and says one time they give him less fish and loaves and he does more with it. He takes less people with him to places where he does more. He walks into a room and there's all these people in the room and he tells the people in the room, I need you, 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 and you to get out. Because the ecosystem in here is creating death. So I need you, 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 and you to get out. And Peter, James, and John, I need you to get in. He says, you guys, Peter, James, and John, you guys get in. The rest of you get out. So even though there were more, I can't use that. I got to use the ones who aren't a part of the fear, who aren't a part of the panic. So what does that say for you and I if we're going to create, if we're going to walk in courage and we're going to separate ourselves and we're going to become more than conquerors, we're going to become greater Christians, we're going to live a greater Christian life, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to edit your ecosystem. Edit them. Take a look in your life and say, which fish are contributing to the atmosphere of the supernatural and the promises and the purpose of God for my life? Which people in my life have a contribution to make, and which people in my life are simply eating the fish, the food in my bowl? Huh? And you have to edit them. I catch a lot of flack for saying that because people are like, oh, that's not nice. Well, then Jesus wasn't nice because he constantly did this. He was constantly editing his surroundings. Peter, James, John, you come up with me on top of the mountain. I'm going to show you something special. There's some glory the Father wants to put on me, and I want you to be there for it because it's going to teach you a lesson. It's going to show you something that's available to you if you'll come with me. But not everybody was invited to go that far. What does that say? Edit your surroundings. Not quantity, but quality. Are the people in your life raising you, keeping you the same, or pushing you down? And don't think of it in numbers. Think of it in quality. Are they lowering you, keeping you the same, or do they have you reaching for greater stuff? Now, the people in your life that have you reaching for greater stuff are the more intimidating people in your life. These are the ones whom you're afraid to. You're like, I don't know how to talk to a person that makes that kind of money. They have a bigger house than me. They're more, they have bigger degrees than I got. But how many know if you want to play better, you got to play with better players? You see, the Cavs lately, they play to the talent they play. They play at the level to the talent they're playing. And the same is it is for you and I. We tend most times to play at the level of our convenience and comfortability. But if we're ever going to become a greater than Christian, a more than Christian, then what we're going to have to do is put some people in our life that challenge us, that don't make you so comfortable. I recently did this. I started doing this about 7 years ago. I started hanging around people and working my way into circles that were scary. Honestly. And what I began to see happen in my life is as I was lifted by them, as God lifted, I reached up towards them, everybody around me came up. And if, you know, we all want greater for our children, then you're going to have to confront what you're afraid of.
some people, you know, you're going to have to separate yourself from. They gossip too much. They're negative. They don't believe in your dreams. They're just along for the ride. You're going to have to take them out of your fishbowl.
Faith, like, what atmosphere do you live in?
This is going to be uncomfortable, right?
What atmosphere do you live in? Tell me what the atmosphere of your home is like. Do you have an ecosystem that you live in, that you're submerged in? It's something to be a fish in an ecosystem like, you know, because you live, eat, breathe what's in the tank. And the same is true for you and I. We live, we eat, and we breathe what's in the tank. We're fish that don't know it's wet at times. And what are you breathing in daily? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What's the atmosphere of your home like? Is it full of faith? Are there words that go across the airwaves in your home that sound like the words that are found in the text? Or are there other words? Are there other words that pollute the airwaves of your ecosystem that you breathe in every day and it dysfunction? You have a dysfunction definition of normal. Have you ever met somebody like that? Don't shake your head. Who believe that and live in a realm of dysfunction but believe it's normal? This is why the poverty of the poor is their ruin. Because they've accepted poverty as normal. So you gotta check your habitat. Check your ecosystem. Is it feeding you? Is it feeding you the right stuff? Is it feeding you a courageous lifestyle that makes you an above average Christian? You will always develop in proportion to your ecosystem. Always. Third, some of us, we just have to move. You have to create courageous movement to become an above average Christian. When Joshua is at Jericho, notice that God didn't just say, just stand there. Just stand there, Joshua, and I'll take care of the rest. Rarely in the Bible does God just say, just stand there. Most of the time, God says, you're going to have to change your shoes for this one. You're going to have to move. And in Joshua 6, verse 7, it says, I want you to march. March. I want you to move. I want you to start walking. Move in the direction of the fight. Something happens when you just start moving. You know, most of us, listen, most of the people in this room would move closer to your destiny and your dream if you just would move. If you just stop talking about it so much and start doing it, change your shoes and put on your running shoes and go already. You know how many people in the kingdom are professional theologians? My greatest critics are professional theologians who know how to do it right and know how to do it better, but they never do nothing. They never put their shoes on. They never get in the fight. They never get in the game. They just sit on the couch and they criticize. Meanwhile, I'm changing shoes every 5 minutes to try to keep up with God, where God's taking me. I'm wearing my shoes out. Are you wearing your shoes out? Something happens when I go to the gym. I hate going to the gym. Honestly, I hate it. It's the worst. Like, I don't want to go. I don't like it. I'll go to the gym and I'll start walking on the track. I got my phone in my hand. I'm looking at YouTube videos to inspire me. And so I get to, you know, something that, you know, I got a few guys that really inspire me. So I start playing. I stick it in my pocket. And just walking. And the next thing you know, this guy starts talking. I'm like, yeah, okay, I can run. And then I just start running. But it starts with walk. It starts with just movement. And listen, Christian, you're never going to be above average wearing church shoes all the time. Your dress shoes aren't going to take you to your destiny. Those pretty shoes you wear, that hat, those clothes, more than likely, that's not the outfit of a soldier for you. You're going to need to put on some combat boots, some all-terrain stuff. You're going to need to change your gear, and you're going to need to move in the direction of the fight. Move in the direction of the fight, even if you're afraid. Even if you're scared. Just put on your shoes and start walking towards it. Just begin. Just begin. And if you'll begin, before you know it, you'll start running towards the fight. You'll start looking for the fight every day. I say, where's the enemy attacking? Not only me, where's he coming against the church, the bride of Christ? Where's he coming? And you'll put your boots on. You'll put your shoes on. You got to move. Create courageous movement. Last, we're going to have to create courageous memories. Most people who live just outside of destiny, who live average, basic Christian lives, they live with an empty think cloud. Yeah, they can't remember what God said. They can't. It's blank all the time. People on the outside, the 22,000, they have a memory problem. They forget what God said all the time. Question is, do you remember what God said to you when he called you, Gideon? Do you remember what God wrote in your think cloud when he called you from the masses, when you were down there hiding out because you were afraid, and I found you there, the angel of the Lord found you there, and I spoke a word to you, and I took 32,000 to 10,000, and I took 10,000 to 300, and I took 300 to 1, and that means, what did I speak to you when I called you? What did God say to you? And do you remember it? Do you remember what God said that got you out of bed? Do you remember what God said when you used to chase him with all of your heart? Do you remember how God spoke to you in the wilderness of your life? Or have you grown so convenient and comfortable and complacent with the comfortability that lies just outside? You remember what God said? Here's something that will help you remember. Psalms 119:89 says, Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, what you said about me is settled in heaven. You got to remember. You've got to remind yourself. You got to fill up your think cloud with what God said. Because that is what heaven says, and that is the truth. What heaven said about you is the truth. What heaven said about your children is the truth. Doesn't matter what's manifesting right now. What heaven said about your marriage is the truth. Doesn't matter what it looks like right now. Do you remember what God said? And if you don't, go back. Go back. Take God's word. Put it there. Write it down in your... Don't forget it.
Don't forget what God said. We tend to forget what God says because we care what you say. We care what others say. And we fill our think cloud and our conversations with what all of them say. What the doctor says. What the attorney says. What the school says. What we fill our cloud with what everybody else says and we forget what God said. But what heaven says is the thing that matters. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word. But my word forever. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word, if I can remember your word, then it'll be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word will help me put on my shoes and go to a courageous place. Your word will take me to my destiny. Your word will help me. It will bring courage to my life. It will take me to the place of my destiny. If I'll just remember your word, John 17:17 says this, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word, God's word is truth. Do you remember God's word to you? God's promise to you. God has a promise for you. God has a promise for you. It's in his word. Do you remember it? Pick it up today. Don't let your life be led by fear. I'm going to take a second to receive the offering today. Thank you for your faithful giving here at Church on the North Coast. We could not preach the gospel like this without your faithful giving. And it is your giving that perpetuates the word of truth to the families of this community, to the families of this region and this nation. There are a lot of ways you can give today. You can go and push pay. You can give online. If you're listening today, you can go online. Some are watching online. You can give online. We thank you for your faithful giving. We could not do it without your partnership. We're at the end of the year, so we ask everybody at the end of the year like this. This is where giving falls off, you know, because of the holiday season. We ask you to push with us. Stay connected with us. Help us to finish strong. Amen? Come on, they're going to receive that now. We're going to bless it. You can give with the envelopes there. You can give on your phone. We thank you for your giving. We're going to bless it. So, Father, we thank you for this gift today. We bless it. We give it to you. And we say, God, take this gift. Create an atmosphere of heaven wherever we go. Enable this gift, God, to unlock the heavens over this region. We come against a spirit of sickness and disease and death. And we thank you, God, that your word goes now and brings life to the dead. And it brings healing to the sick. And we release this gift with faith. And we declare the power and the majesty of Christ be upon it. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I need to tell you that life groups start right now. We're enrolling for life groups, and I would encourage you to start a life group. Everyone should have a life group. Everyone should have a circle of influence that you are leading, that you are directing, that you are helping become the fullness of Christ. And so we want to encourage you to do that. Before the end of the year, we need you to contact our offices and let us know where and what and how you'll be doing that. But we want to encourage you to do that. As I close today, I want to ask you something. I want to ask you, have you enlisted in the army? Have you went from sitting in the pew to holding the sword of the Lord? Here's the altar call. Have you confronted your fear? Have you moved beyond the complacency of your faith and into a realm
of risk. That's the first one. It's for all of us in this room. If you're comfortable in your faith, I want to give a call to you today and say, move out of the place of comfort and into a place of courage. Secondly, have you become a citizen of heaven? Are you born again? Are you born again? Have you called upon the name of the Lord for your life? Have you recognized that your sin is the thing that separates you from God? It separates all of us from God. Have you recognized that, and have you called upon the name of Jesus? And if you haven't, that altar call is to you. Do it today. Join heaven's family today. Don't leave here without calling upon the name of Jesus. Lastly, so if you're not born again, if you haven't joined the army, and if you're AWOL, some of us are AWOL. I mean, to be honest, like really, some of us have broken ranks and we've ran away from what God's calling us to do. And if that's you, God says, listen, I need you to come home. I need you to come home. I need you to come home because, like, your family needs you to come home. Your wife and your children need you to come home. Your husband and your children, your brothers, your sisters, this community, this nation needs you to come home. It needs you to get back in the swing of faith and start taking big risks for God again. Amen? Come on, close your eyes with me. Today, God, if there be any in here who don't know you, we take this moment now and we say, God, forgive me of my sin. I want to live for you all the days of my life. I take your righteousness. I give you my sin. I thank you, God, that now I'm born again, and this new life as being a born again believer will be different than my old life, and that I will follow you all the days of this new life, and I will try my hardest. I will try my hardest to live to trust you every day with my weakness. So I call upon your name, Jesus. I remove all the religion from it, and I just call upon your name, Jesus. Rescue me. God, if there be any in here who are AWOL, who've ran away from their destiny, their purpose, their assignment in this world, God, you're calling them back now. God's calling you back now. He's calling you back to pick up the promises for your life, not just for you, but for your family, for your friends, for your community, for your nation. If you're here today, you say, I want to enlist. I want to start today in the army. I want to be a part of Gideon's army. I want to be a part of the courageous who separates himself. That's me. God says, this is your day. And God declares of you, he's going to birth inside of you a dream and a vision. He's going to create a moment with you that's going to lead an entire nation to victory. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you for today. Your word is powerful. We pray, God, today that it would empower us to leave this place and move with faith towards victory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to try something different. I want to try a benediction. A benediction, it's something God spoke to me, and I just want to declare it over you as we leave. Can you stand to your feet with me as we prepare to leave? Altar ministers are going to come forward now, and as the altar ministers come forward, as you pray any of those prayers, if you would like for us to pray with you, we'd love to. We'd love to equip you with the tools of faith, you know, let you know exactly, you know, some of the things you're going to need to know as you walk out your new life in Christ and some of the calls that he's called you to. After the service, we'd love to meet with you. Our pastoral team, our pastoral staff would love to meet with you. Pastor Dom will be here. Some other pastoral staff will be in the back. We'd love to meet with you at the hello sign back there if we've never met you, and just get to know you better.
Let's pray. May the God of all hope and love fill you with inexpressible joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. Let his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven for you, your family, and your community. May you walk in the power of your purpose and blessings will overtake you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next week here at Church on the North Coast. God bless you as you go. If you need prayer,